Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. So could somebody in here tell me what Paul says that speaking in tongues is? Now, if you take this as a history and a science book, you're gonna take something about tongues that's different than what Paul says. Can anybody in here tell me what Paul says that tongues are? Well, look. Okay, but he uses a very special word. There you go, brother. There's a sign. Now I'm going to ask you a question. What is va la 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 sign of? Well, no, come on now. If that's God speaking, what's it a sign of? If that's God speaking, what's it a sign of? What did I say? Well, what did I say? Elamashakataya, Haradabahandadadaya, Shinamakaya. What did I say?
Badly.
What did I say?
Nothing.
You don't know what I said.
No.
God speaks different than us. See, everybody's going to look at the sign and get hung up here at the sign. What in the world does the sign say? Sign points someplace. If I said, there's the moon, you know what will happen with folks? They're going to stop and look at my finger. There's the moon. This is a sign. And what's a sign of babbling say? God speaks different than us. You can't understand God. Oh, God. Well, boy, we get all kinds. It's a sign, folks. It's a sign that God's language is different than ours. Now, I'll take a little bit of his language and translate it into ours. Love your enemy. That a different language than you understand, Craig? No matter what language those words are spoken in, it's different than your language, isn't it? Love your enemy. This is a sign. A sign. But we get caught up in the sign. We don't go where the sign's pointing. We just stay right there at the sign and just have a wonderful time. And Paul gets with the Corinthians, and that's just what he's telling them, folks. You guys are missing it. We full of churches missing it. For instance, what does Paul say about when you speak in a tongue? What's it worth? He said it ain't worth unless you can interpret it. Now, if you're going to read the Bible as though it's a history book and a science book, it ain't a science. For instance, y'all are leading me off of my subject in this class. But it's all right. Let me take you back in history. Some of you have a little problem. You never heard that before, see? So you got a little problem with that, don't you? Let me take you back to Genesis. Where in the Bible did it happen that our languages were all fouled up? We used to all speak the same language, and then they got fouled up. Tower of Babel. Oh. All of these people spoke the same language. Okay? And they were building this tower to go to heaven. And God said, if I don't come down and stop them, these people could do anything. So he confused their language so they couldn't communicate with one another properly. And they did. You go read it. I'm just telling you exactly what it said. And so what happens when you get 5,000 people speaking one language here and 5,000 here and 5,000 there and 5,000 there? What do you have? What do you have the beginning of? Huh? Well, I know, but if I'm sitting here speaking and you can understand me, where are you going to gather up to? Up to me. What if she's speaking something? Man, I don't know what she's saying. Me and you going to hang together. Come here to me, boy. It's me and you hang. So we're going to end up with 5,000 of us over here that speaks one language, right? And then there's going to be 5,000 over there speaking another language. 5,000 over there speaking another language, and there's going to be some smart aleck going to try to organize all of them. Aren't they? Now, we've got to get back to building the building, guys. Can't do it, though. These understand him, and these don't. What's this beginning of? Which is division. Different nation. Division. Man's divided. When Jesus came, what did he come back to bring? All men, unity. All men back together. Okay. What was the sign of their division? They babbled. Confusion. What's the sign of the unity? Babbling again. Babbling again. And that's God's language. And you don't understand God's language. You want to submit to God, you're going to submit to something you don't understand. You're going to drop your attachment. Somebody steals your car, you let them have it. Whatever you're attached to, if you say, I cannot be happy if my kids don't get an education, then you won't be happy. Okay. Let me tell you something. Man, that's just, and I'm just going to throw this out in the air, and I'm not going to talk about it. The only value of any action is in its sign. The only value of any action is in its sign. In its sign value. Somebody robs you and you let them have it. Big sign. That's a big smoke sign. Somebody slaps you and you turn the sheet. Ain't nobody wants to do that. Big sign. And here's the way the world says, he's crazy. That's the way the world interprets the sign. The way the world would interpret tongues, the way the word, he's crazy. If a politician got up and he ran on the platform that if he was elected, he was going to do away with the army. Big sign. Won't get elected. Won't get elected. Will not get elected, folks. This guy could have got, he couldn't have, they wouldn't have voted him in his dog catcher. You know that, don't you? Would not have. The only value in any action is in its sign. Hey, y'all work on that with your head. Now I'm going to get back to this sign. Well, if this is the only thing that we need to do, and I'm going to make a feeble attempt at putting some words on what love is. And love like truth, though, you just don't put into words. You understand? But I'll make a feeble attempt, and I'll get some things on there that'll help you understand it. Also, it's easier to define what love is by deciding what it isn't. We can do that. That's a lot easier than it is saying what it is. But I'm going to try to say something that it is. But I would, won't you all agree that if love is the only thing we need to do, this should be very simple. And wouldn't you agree that there must be a problem, because there's a lot of problems in the world. There's problems in the church. The church doesn't look any different in the world, does it? The same stuff, how many of you belong to a parish council? Same stuff goes on at a blooming parish council. It goes on any place. I mean, fussing and fighting, and where's the money going to go, and what are we going to build next, and, you know, just a mess. So if this is the thing that we're to do, and it's such an easy thing to do, you know, it should be simple to understand, since it's one little thing, is it possible that maybe we don't know what love is? Is it possible, see, that what we call love, what we place on what Jesus would say we must do to one another, and what God is this. God is this. Is it possible that we don't know what it is? So here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to take us back 2,000 years ago to when this man started writing Scripture. Paul was writing Scripture. All the New Testament writers are writing something, and they're trying to explain something they've experienced, and they're trying to help other people to experience it. Okay? So we're gonna try to get an idea of what this is by looking at that, going back then. For instance, his life describes what love is. His life does. His life is love. Okay? But if we went back 2,000 years ago when Scripture was written, the most popular word for love was the word eros. Most popular Greek word that we would translate into love is the word eros. We take the word erotic from it. Let me give you an understanding of what that word means, and what we're going to try to do is try to understand what love isn't through this word. Okay? This word insinuates that love is tit for tat. You do good to me, I'll do good to you. You give me five, I'll give you five. You're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. You smell good, I love you. You look good, I love you. You satisfy a desire in me. A desire, you notice? You satisfy a desire in me, I love you. We understand that kind of love, don't we? The husband walks into the house and he got a $500 bonus, and he lays it out across the table and says, "Honey, do anything you want to," and you just love him to death. I mean, that sucker could get anything he wanted then. You understand? I just love him. It'd be so wonderful and generous. But the next night, the same son of a gun that you're so in love with comes home at 10 o'clock, and he's got beer on his breath, and you can tell he's just not just right. The same identical person, the same two people, and all of a sudden you're into this kind of stuff. Where the hell have you been? You are the sorriest scoundrel I've ever seen. You're acting just like your daddy. This is the same guy that you were madly in love with yesterday. The same guy. Something's wrong, isn't it? Why does God love you and I like that? Do you know animals love this way? How many of you got a little dog at home or a cat that just loves you? You want me to tell you what to do? Quit feeding them and leave the door open, and they'll leave you most skosh and go next door and next door. They'll go someplace, they find the food, and they'll fall in love with them. Oh, yes, they will. Just check it out. They love you. Animals love the way I'm talking about. Matter of fact, animals are probably a little more faithful than you and I are. See? How about this is a good description of love. She was 5'2", her eyes were blue. Coochie, 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 coochie. Okay. It's 25 years later, and she's still 5'2". Her eyes are still blue. Hair's gray. She used to weigh 110, now she weighs 210. And you know, I stopped on the way home and had a beer in the bar, and there was a 5'2", eyes are blue, hoochie-coochie-coo, and I think I'm falling in love again. And I don't love her anymore. You do the same thing with a woman. I was out pulling the weeds in the yard the other day, and the next door neighbor came over. He looked so good. My husband was a wonderful, handsome, 6 foot tall, big, shocking head of hair. His hair's gone. He's got a beer belly. And this guy next door, he don't ever say anything romantic to me anymore, and the guy next door did. I think I'm falling in love. It goes on every day, and there's somebody here that may be caught in that dilemma in their life right now. Somebody's treating them not well. It goes on every day, and this is eros love. It's eros. You can love a hamburger like that, folks. They cook you a nice, big, juicy hamburger, and you love it. The next day you go back, they burn it, or it's greasy, and you don't love it. Yuck, I don't like hamburgers. I love hamburgers. That's the word. We all understand that, don't we? Do you know this word is the most popular word that we would translate into love? And of all the writers of Scripture who wrote over a 60-year period, not one of them put the word in the Bible. Not one. It is not in Scripture. I think it's by design. And they picked a word that we have found no place in secular Greek writing except in dictionary-type form. No place used. You don't find Homer using it, Socrates using it. They picked a word that is uncommon, and they said that this is him. Totally uncommon word. If you looked it up in a Greek dictionary, it would have told you that it was unconditional caring. No conditions on it. Zero zip. Unconditional caring. She's 5'2", her eyes are blue, hoochie coochie coochie coo. And the second year we were married, she came down with muscular dystrophy. And she's been in a wheelchair ever since. And I love her. 30 years later, I love her. I've taken care of her. I dropped my attachments to all of my desires, and I love her. I couldn't get the education I wanted. I couldn't get the job I wanted. I couldn't have the kids I wanted. I couldn't have the this I wanted. I couldn't have the that I wanted. I dropped my desire for them, and the only thing that's left is I love her. I love her. I give my whole life for her, and I'm going to tell you that's the only thing that you need. You need to love. You do not need to be loved. We spend our whole life trying to get everybody to love us. Manipulate them and, you know, flip the $500 out on them. You love me, don't you? Aren't I great? Well, is he any different the next day? When he's got a little lipstick on his collar. He's a thousier now. You understand? But if you'll drop your attachment, if you can drop your attachment to him being what you say he should be, you can still love him. Casimir's. Folks, this is the way God loves us. There is nothing you can do that separates you from the love of God. Nothing. Everything is grace. Y'all know what grace means. It is unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. God loves you. God created you. He loves you. God is love. This is the only thing that you and I need to do. Now, I want to tell you, if you get a little handle on what I'm saying, and you walk out of here and you get to thinking about this, you get to thinking about all the situations with the children. You think about all the situations with the wife. You think about all the situations with the husband. And I'm going to tell you, if you love, you'll be happy. Now, they may be miserable. They may be the most miserable suckers walking the earth. You'll be happy. And you'll be constantly trying to help them to become happy. Constantly trying to get them to see what it'll take to be happy. Honey, you don't have to do anything for me to make me happy. It isn't what you do that makes me happy. It's what I do. It's how I respond to you that makes me happy. You want to be happy? It'll be how you respond to me. I can't make you happy. I am not your happiness. And you'll look at your kids and know your kids are not your happiness. You can live without your kids. This is the big lie, folks. This is the lie the world gets us caught into. I could not live without my home. I could not live without air conditioning. And it takes you down that path, and it gets so horrendous. You talk about worry, and it'll get worse and worse and worse, folks, and we'll kill God to keep it. We'll kill God to keep our air conditioning. We'll kill God to still be able to drive 20,000 miles a year. Let me tell you what, you could give up your car and never step in it again and be happy. But most of us sitting here saying, no, I couldn't. Nope. I had a guy in a class yesterday tell me if they got my car, I would not be happy. Well, so he will never be happy. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I got an old clunker out there. If somebody's got it when I walk out here, I just don't give a toot. If it's a new Cadillac, I don't give a toot. If I give a toot about a new Cadillac, that's what I'd be driving. It doesn't make any difference, folks. Now, I'm going to tell you that it may take a while to get to see what I'm talking about, but you've got to make the decision. It begins as a decision. If my husband leaves me, Yolanda, it's all right.
He's gone.
He's already left you. I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. Yolanda, I really question about how you said that. He's gone. Praise God.
He's gone.
Well, it might as well be all right. He's gone.
He's happy.
And you know what? Here's the way our worldly mind will think when I talk to you like this. You'll think, well, he's telling me just not to care about nothing. I'm telling you to lead you into caring. Really caring. Genuinely caring. You know, you look at your kids right when you realize that they're not your happiness. My kids are my happiness. And they're on drugs and I'm miserable. Oh, God. She knows why I'm looking at her, don't she? Because she's got a son. Do you mind me telling?
No, I don't.
It's in prison, and it's driving her nuts. It is. It's all right.
It is all right.
It's all right. We folks, man, you can't run the world. We're little creatures. And the more you try to run the world, the more unhappy you're going to be. The more unhappy you're going to be. Why don't you learn to be content? Whatever happens is all right. And that will not make you a passive person. I'm going to tell you that with my children, when I begin to understand this message, I was more intent on showing them something and in a way that they could accept it. You understand? I did not become passive. I did not spend less time with them. I spent more time with them. You understand? Because you'll understand that the only way you'll really get this message across to somebody is time and them seeing it done. Seeing it done. My kids have watched people rob me and watched my response. Now, I'm going to give you a little sequel to that. So the hardest person to accept this message in my house is my 25-year-old son, because he was 14 years old when I began to see it. You understand? So I've already put 14 years of daddy in him. You know, he's a good kid, Eagle Scout. You know, good competitor. And I begin to try to show him something different. And show it, folks, more than say it. Something you show. You show. You sit and look for the moments when you can be a great sign, and you be the sign. You be honest. You be a sign of, this is the kind of sign you always want to be, one of holy love. Okay. So my son gets out of college, goes to work, and he calls home and he says, I'm going to come home. I need this boy all through college and the first year of work drove a 1980 Isuzu diesel truck that I bought him. I paid $2,000 for it, and he nurtured that thing, got all the way through school and worked his first year in it, saved some money, buy a car. He was calling me up. He was going to come home and buy a truck. Okay, so he came home, and we went through the process, and he got a truck. And he goes off to Nashville, Tennessee. He builds specialized buildings. So he goes up there, and the first week he's up there, a lady bumps and runs into his truck. Runs out of side street. This brand-new truck, the only time this kid ever had a new vehicle in his life. And you know how you feel about your truck. Boom, in the side of it. So he called up home, and he kind of seemed good about it. He wasn't too upset. He says, well, it'll be all right. He said, you know, it was an old couple that run into me, that the lady was driving. And they told me that if I call the cops, their insurance is going to go sky high. And so, Daddy, I didn't call them. I just let them go. I've got their name, and they say they're going to pay for it. Wonder where he got that. Yeah. Boy, I'm sitting there on the phone saying, thanks be to God. Now, folks, also, you know what I'm knowing in my head? And he probably won't get it fixed. That's just what I told him. I said, now, son, if you did that because you think you're going to get it fixed, forget it. I hope you do, too. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But make up your mind that if you do, it's all right, and if you don't, it's all right. So here's another thing. Be content, whatever happens. Well, they did pay for it. They did. Okay. But now, see, this, and I'm going to tell you, it was not words I said to him as much as what he watched me do. Do with him. Do with him, because I'm going to tell you what that young man remembered when he wrecked my truck. He remembered when he wrecked my car. What do you want to do? What do you want to do when you go out of town one day and your sophomore in high school decides he's going to drive your new car to school? You come home and here's your new car. And the old Lord's working me over, and I said, well, son, don't you know that's all? You're all right, aren't you? It's hard to pull those words out of me. You're all right, aren't you? Please remember, as you walk out of here, the only value in anything you do is its sign. Is it a sign of holy love, set-apart love? What is the sign that you're bringing into the world? If you're a representative of God, you're an ambassador to God, what sign value is your life to the world? It's the only Jesus the world will see is Casimira. So Casimira, get interested in what the value of you as a sign is. You're very valuable as a sign. This man's whole life was a sign. When he healed a body, it was a sign. It was a sign that God could heal hearts. When he fed the multitude, it was a sign that God could feed you spiritually. And I'm going to tell you what spiritual food is.
That's it.
That's spiritual food. Love is this. It's the willingness to suffer without the desire to get even. I'm going to put some words on it. His life. He was willing to suffer, and he dropped his attachment to the desire to get even. We all want to. Every human being wants to get even. He was a human being. He dropped his attachment to that desire. Love is the willingness to serve without the desire of a return.